May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. How'd your Christmas go then? Okay? Good? Good, good, good. I was reflecting on why I liked Christmas. And I decided one reason was that actually I really enjoyed all the stories that are so well known, so well loved. And people come into church to hear those stories that they probably know. And being part of a story is important because we are part of God's story now. It didn't stop at Revelation. It didn't stop when the Bibles, you know, got completed. The story of Christ goes on in the way we live our lives. So storytelling is extremely important. And I do think sometimes being English, British, we can be a bit too reserved in our thoughts about storytelling. Okay. Let's look at the chapter, the bits from Luke. Last time I was here, actually, I spoke about the verses immediately prior to this. So this is part two. Okay? Now I want you to, I would like you, don't say want, do you? I would like you to imagine that you are part of that story on the shores of the Jordan, okay? We are wearing our long robes. The sun is blazing down. The water is there. John the Baptist is there. This strange man, I don't think John laughed a lot. I don't know why, but I don't think he laughed a lot. He's pretty serious, wasn't he? And he didn't conform, shall we say. He wore unconventional clothing. And he said unconventional things. And he was very, very specific in his preaching. And he upset a lot of people. That's what good preachers do, is upset a lot of people. You've been warned. So what did John say prior to this that he upset people for? Basically that you couldn't rely on being a son of Abraham, i.e. Jewish. You, Jewish people, we're all Jewish people, we're still standing by the river. Okay, we're there. Even though you're Jewish, you have to repent of your sins. You are a sinner. And you have to be baptized along with everybody else. Okay? So we're all there. We're going to be baptized with water, okay? Now Jesus is there as well. Did we take any notice of him? Why would we? He'd not done anything. If we look at the previous chapters in any gospel, it will tell us that, yeah, Jesus was born. He didn't have too much to do about that, but he was born. He was taken to the temple to be dedicated to. He stayed in the temple against his earthly parents' wishes and was speaking very knowledgeably about the verses there. And he was 12. We have now gone to about when he's 28, 29, 30-ish, approximately in the region of, okay. He's not done anything. He has no disciples. He's done no miracles. Well, not that we know of. He's not said anything incredible. He's there to be baptized too. And the interesting thing about going back to Isaiah, not this specific passage that we heard today, is that it says to us, he was numbered with the transgressors. That's us. The sinners. That's us. He didn't have to be baptized. He didn't sin. He was Jewish. But he took the decision to be baptized too. Okay? And very often we associate those words, he was numbered with the transgressors, with the scene on the cross where Jesus has the two robbers either side of him. But it's actually pertinent to his baptism too. He's numbered with us. He's numbered with us. We're still on the banks of the Jordan, right? Okay? One by one, we've been baptized. We've got wet and it's lovely. It's cooling. It's wonderful. think at that time, it's indicated in the reading, that actually we would have thought possibly that John was the Messiah. Yeah? Quite possibly. But John anticipated this. And he said, no, I'm not. I'm not even worthy to untie the person who is coming next. I'm just a minor prophet in all this. And bearing in mind that people hadn't heard the prophets for quite a few hundred years. So we're standing there on the banks of the Jordan thinking, what's he on about? Well, I would anyway. And then John starts to tell us about the Holy Spirit, the one who's coming next. I baptize you with water, the one who's coming next will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Really? Oh. And he goes on to explain what the Holy Spirit's going to come to do. Now, can we put aside the, you know, the flames coming out of people's heads at Pentecost and all that sort of stuff? Let's think about the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to come into us, into our lives. And what John is describing here is that the Holy Spirit will come and get rid of all the rubbish. If we allow him to. If we ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm thinking, I don't really understand that either too much. So anyway, we've now been baptized, and we've taken it all in turns. And who's baptized last then? Jesus. He puts himself in our shoes, the shoes of the transgressors. He puts himself right where he needn't be, and he puts himself last. All the people he's going to serve, he's put himself last. So Jesus, this nondescript chap, the last in the line to be baptized, fairly ordinary. Just go and have a, you don't have coffee, do you? Go and have a glass of raki or whatever you're going off to. Anyway, wait for Jesus to be baptized. And there was Jesus. He'd been baptized. And he was praying. We have two short verses that means so much. He was praying. And Luke's gospel always, more than any other gospel, reminds us that if Jesus did anything, he prayed. He didn't do it in his own strength. He did it because he sought God's will and did God's will. Now, if I want to go off a bit of a tangent here, praying. We're very good at praying, aren't we? We're very good at telling God what we think. We're very good at asking for things. Great, groovy. Are we very good at waiting on God and after asking a question, waiting for him to speak? I'm not. The point being is that if we seek God's will, we need to listen to an answer. And if we're not used to listening to God speaking to us, then we need some practice. I've just digressed now. So let's go back. We're still on the banks of the River Jordan. Okay. And then to get these words, which are just totally and utterly, movingly inappropriate. I'll explain why. It says, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on like a, formerly like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you're my son, the beloved, who is well pleased. The heavens opened. Yeah? The roof comes off this church. The heavens opened. The beautiful blue sky and the heavens opened. Thank you. Not the heavens opened. The heavens opened. And the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and descended on this man who we'd never heard of. Yeah? And a voice came from heaven. Now we've heard the voice coming from heaven in the previous chapters of Luke via people speaking, via angels speaking. This time it's God. Now I've got a loud voice. Okay? You are my son, my beloved. In you I am well pleased. Imagine that 100 times, 100,000 times louder. God is speaking. Yeah. I've gone all goosebumpy now, yeah? That's what happened. And that's what we saw on the banks of the River Jordan. This guy who we'd never seen before, who'd never done anything. We didn't know his name. And this is God speaking to us all so we could hear. Jesus hadn't started his ministry. Why was he blessed by God? Not because of what he hadn't done or was going to do. No. It was because God loved him. Simple, simple as that. And God wanted to know, for people to know that he loves his son. And why was the perfect Jesus obedient to God? Because he was loved. Nothing else. So as we are part of this story, we're still on the banks of the Jordan, okay? As we are part of this story, God does speak to us. If we allow him to and we listen out for him. And we need to seek his will and be obedient to his will. We may not hear him clearly, but do what he's got to ask you. And if you're afraid, do it afraid. I was once told to go and go round to a neighbour's house, so I didn't know very well, and just say to them, God loves you. Well, yeah, right. Really, God? Anyway, the lady looked a bit nonplussed, but I didn't anyway. And the thing is, yes, I obeyed God then. Have I said no to God in the past? Yeah. And the miracle is, God's story is not thwarted by me saying, I ain't going to do that, God, forget that. He's not thwarted. His love for people, his story is not thwarted by me saying no. Just imagine if Mary said no. He'd probably get someone else, though. Yeah? God's will always be done, despite us. Okay. Now, I just want to go, again, a bit off-piste. Because one of the reasons that Luke wrote his gospel was to persuade his friend Theophilus that the new religion we know as Christianity was part of Judaism and was not a threat. If Luke hadn't have done this, then the new religion would be classed as illegal. And Julius Caesar had given permission for Judaism to be an accepted religion. So Luke, who was a Roman, writing to a fellow Roman, was in the business of writing in the context of that time. Now, as we know, at that time, there were loads of gods about, and they were worshipped plentifully for whatever reason. Strange thing about the gods in Roman times, though, they had no Bible. They had no Old Testament. They had no commandments. They had no rules and regulations. They had nothing. But the Romans liked to have examples of how they should live and how they should worship these gods. So if we put that into the context of Luke writing, he is telling us that Jesus is our example. Okay, so that's why it fits into the Roman psyche. So Jesus is our example. Jesus is the one we need to be obedient to. Why? Because he loves us. Simple. Simple. Now I'm just going to turn to a passage from Isaiah. These are some of the tenderest words that God has ever spoken to his people. And albeit they are in the Old Testament, they remain more than relevant. This is God speaking to us now, and it ties in with what Mel has said already. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you, each one of us, by name. You are mine. we are his. And it goes on to say about going through the waters, we won't drown, we will not be burnt by fire, the flame will not consume you. Why? I am the Lord your God. And it goes into an earthly explanation about how much God loves us, that he would give anything, any nation, the whole of creation, for each one of us. And he will bring us all home. Why? Because everyone who is called by his name, who he created for his glory, that's why we're here on earth, to glorify God. We are here for him. Because inexplicably, even though we sin a little, a lot, we sin, inexplicably, he has chosen to love us. Yeah? So each one of us here has been called by name. Each one of us is loved by God. Each one of us is his. And whatever happens, he's always there for us. I think that's marvellous. And if I had any voice left, I would go outside and shout it too. Amen.